right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all today. Been a few years since I've been here, but always glad to be here. I have to apologize ahead of time. I am a sweater, and I am going to start sweating profusely. So don't mind me. I'm okay physically. I'm just a sweaty person. So I appreciate you having me here. Nathan tells me that most of you or all of you have been having some conversations about mission and incarnational ministry and the kinds of things that the church now has to adapt to try to reach people that are far from God. Bill, I loved hearing your story, you know, in the ways that God is moving all throughout your life. And so many people these days, young people, are growing up disconnected from God, from the church, from a lot of times from even just positive influences in their lives. And we can be tempted to think that this is the end of the story, like the church is not going to move forward if we don't get young people in here. But the reminder that God always gives me, and I think he wants to give to us this morning, is that he is always at work. And he does not cease to work and move in people's lives. A couple of years ago, our campus church at Ball State, we celebrated 30 years of being on campus. And we had a big party and invited alumni back. And it was really cool. I actually have been there for 28 of those years. At that time. And so I knew everyone that came back. It was just an amazing experience. And there were so many powerful moments of just remembering things that God had done in the past. And I have this friend named Billy. And Billy now lives out somewhere near Parker City. But we were in college at Ball State together at the same time, and we've stayed connected. And one of the things that Billy has helped us do is we used to slaughter hogs and then cook them and then serve them on campus. But none of us knew how to do any of this. Only Billy did. So he kind of showed us the ropes. And I remember one of the last times we did it, we killed two hogs. And right before we did, he put his hands on their head, and he prayed for them. And he prayed that they would fulfill God's purpose. And we were all kind of like laughing a little bit, but then just thinking, yeah, what if God really wants to use these hogs to reach people? And that night at that reunion, I got to tell Billy the story of what happened at that hog roast. The hog roast where there were so many people that showed up for it that we decided to stop doing it because we just couldn't supply enough meat for everyone that came anymore. And we had no way to like cook these huge hogs either. So it was a real fiasco. But one of the guys that I met was standing at this bus stop on the corner right by where we were in this field. We had this huge tent set up. And his name was Will, or at least that's what he was calling himself. He was an international student from China. And he was trying to be polite, I think, because he really wanted to leave. But I think I kind of pressured him into coming over and getting some food. And we sat down together. And that night, he told me that right before his grandmother passed, which was right before he came to America, she gave him a Bible. And that Bible was given to her on her deathbed by some ladies that came to take care of her before she passed away. And when she gave that Bible to Will, she said, "You have to read this." And he brought it with him in his suitcase and all the stuff he brought to America. And he said, I've been trying to read it, but I don't understand what it's saying. And I said, "Well, too bad. You'll never figure it out." No, that is not what I said. I said, "Well, that's interesting you say that because I've been reading the Bible for a long time and maybe there are some things that I can help you understand." And that conversation led to more conversations which led to Will starting to come around to some Bible studies that we did, which led to Will giving his life to Christ, which led to Will joining up with a summer-long leadership training program that we do, which led to Will getting married and moving back to China to serve Jesus. And I got to tell my friend Billy, do you remember when you prayed for those hogs? In Psalm 77, verse 10, it says, "Then I thought to the Lord." I have some of these slides up here. "Then I thought to the Lord, this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." I will remember the deeds of the Lord. What do we remember that God has done? I mean, he really, if we have walked with him for any amount of time, he has done a lot in our lives. And he has done good things. And this church, I'm sure, has so many stories of the things that God has done and the ways that he has interacted in our lives. And those are not just the days of the past. God is doing good things. He's doing great things right now. Right now, God is at work, and we may not always be in tune with it. We may not be paying attention to it. We may not see where it's happening. And we may not even feel like we personally are experiencing it. But God is at work right now. Something awakened in me a couple of years ago around the time of one of Ball State's spring breaks. I had been in ministry at that time for about 26 years. And in those years, of course, I've experienced all sorts of powerful movings and workings of Jesus in my life and seen it happen in other people. And I've also gone through seasons where I felt like I was just barely holding on as well. There's a group of us that were getting ready to travel over to Amsterdam for Ball State's spring break. And we were going to spend a week with Middle Eastern refugees. And we were going to a refugee center. We had a connection with a woman who used to be a professor at Ball State, and then she became a missionary. And she and another lady had been dreaming and praying about how to reach Middle Eastern refugees in the city where they lived in Amsterdam. And so she invited us over, a group of us, to just help them try to meet people. And of course, none of us had ever done anything like this. So we were spending time preparing ourselves, becoming familiar with the Muslim faith for those who didn't know very much about that, and talking with people who had done similar types of ministry. And we had met with one family who had reached out to refugees back in the late 80s. And we prayed with them at their house one evening. And after that prayer time, I think we were all awakened to something that I'm not even sure we were paying attention to before that. This idea that God is at work. And that if we join him in the things that he is doing, then we will be able to see through our lives, through our participation with him, all the amazing things that he's doing. And they told us stories about things that God is currently doing all over the world, mostly in Europe, among Syrian refugees and refugees from Yemen and Iran. And how are there are these amazing revivals of people coming to know Christ in these refugee centers. And many of them are choosing to go back to those countries. And in places like Syria, the first thing they do is they go buy a grave plot, because they know that they are going back to die. And they go back and they spread the message of Jesus that they had found in some of these places, and the places that they came to escape the difficult situations, and now have become missionaries for God and his purpose. Our expectations, of course, when we were going into this trip were so low, we were just thinking, oh, maybe we'll just meet some people. But had no idea what it was that God was going to do. And I just want us to pause and consider something. What if God is doing something right now? And what if he is inviting you into it? Isaiah 43 and verse 18, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" In preparation for this trip, I had read this book. This book is called Dreams and Visions. And it talks about how many Muslim background people begin to understand who Jesus is through dreams that they have. And that is a way that seems very common, that Jesus reveals himself to people that are coming from countries where there's very little access to the Bible or to a proclamation of the gospel. And while I was reading, I was just fascinated and could not put it down. And so I read the book cover to cover. And the day I finished the book, I was at a coffee shop in Muncie called The Caffeinery. And if you ever want to know where any of the pastors in Muncie are, they're right there at that coffee shop. So if you ever want to find them, that's where we are. But I had just finished this meeting, I just finished a meeting with a guy, and right at the door, I noticed someone walking in the door, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we had this recognition like, we know each other, but we couldn't remember where. And I thought, Applebee's. And that's what it was. Because a couple weeks earlier, there was a group of us that went over to Applebee's, and he was our server. And I remember that so specifically because we got him to do something for us. Because when we walked into Applebee's, I looked over at another table and I saw my friend Jim Sandberg. Has he been here before? Okay, so maybe you've met Jim. He's an older pastor, probably a lot more conservative than I am. And I saw him sitting down with two other pastors at a table. And they were far away and they didn't see us come in. So I asked the server if he would go over to their table and say, Mr. Sandberg, here's your usual drink. And it would be like a shot of whiskey. And so he was like, that seems like a great idea. And so he did it. And I remember Jim, he looked around all over the place and then he saw us and he knew exactly who had done that to him. So be careful if you make friends with me. But this server was the guy who walked into the Caffeinery, and we had this little moment of remembering that funny story. And we were talking, and I guess I was prompted, and partly because I had just read this book called Dreams and Visions, but I was just so inspired about the ways, reminders of the ways that God is working. And I just asked him some awkward question like, what has been happening spiritually in your life since I last saw you? And it was so awkward. And he looked around and he said, can I sit down? I said, yeah, sure, you can sit down. And he sat down and he told me about this dream that he had about Jesus and wondered if I could explain to him what it meant. And so we have met many times. Of course, I had goosebumps all over my skin when he said that. But I told him about this book that I just finished reading, and he said, that's amazing. He said, what do you think God is trying to say to me? And this has led to a lot of talks that we've had, and God is trying to draw him into a relationship with himself, and he agrees with that. God is at work. Even when we might not be paying attention to it. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, I have that verse up on the screen as well, if you can get to it. In John 12, 32, it says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And that was Jesus saying, when I'm lifted up on a cross, I will draw people to myself. From the cross until now, that is what Jesus has been doing. And we can look around wherever we are, and whether we realize it's happening or not, it is happening. God is at work. In John chapter 5, this is another verse, in verse 17 it says, "In his defense, Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working.'" We are tempted to think, and maybe it's because of the kind of lives that we've always lived, I think we are tempted to think that most of life is just normal. And that God hopefully is good, but he's only involved with us in certain moments when we really need him. But what if he is always at work around us? I think of the story of Moses when he's in Midian. He spent the years from age 40 to age 80 tending his father-in-law's flocks. And then one day, at the sight of a burning bush, God speaks to him and tells him to remove his sandals because the place where he is standing is holy. And it wasn't because there was something unusual or special about this place. It was just a normal place, but the presence of God was there. One time several years ago, I was getting ready to go on a backpacking trip with some guys, some college guys from Ball State, and we were going to spend some time camping and exploring, and the goal of this trip was discipleship and growing deeper in our faith. And over the years, I have had, I guess, I don't know, persistent struggles with anxiety-related issues in my life. And it had gotten so bad right before this trip came that I almost had to cancel this trip because I was thinking, I'm taking all these guys out into the wilderness, and what happens if I totally freak out there? And none of them had ever even camped before. And so I just was emotionally overwhelmed by this. And some of my fellow pastors, they were like, let's just do it, and we'll just trust God that it'll all work out, okay? And so we went. And we took a trip up to the Grand Canyon. We went out to Phoenix, and we took a trip to the Grand Canyon. I remember thinking, oh, no, this familiar feelings of panic and anxiety were starting. And in my mind and my heart, and everyone got back, and we went down to the camp where we were staying. And the next morning, I just told all the guys, hey, we're going to spend this entire day in solitude. Meaning we weren't going to talk to each other. And we were just going to read our Bibles or pray or meditate or think. But I told everyone to not go too far from the campsite because I was afraid they were going to get lost. But I went for like a 10-mile walk. Way deep into this canyon. And as I began to walk, I just began to remind myself, or be reminded, of how good God is and how deeply he cares about me. And much of the day, I just spent praying and reading verses, and I was writing in this journal that I had with me and being comforted by his presence. And as our time of meeting was coming to a close, I looked up and I saw this cliff, and I thought, I'm going to climb up there. It was an ill-advised trip because I'm older than what I remember myself being. But I got up there and I took this picture up there from the top of this cliff. And while I was up there, I pulled out this book that I had with me and I started reading. And as I started reading this book, all these feelings of incompetence and failure and disappointment with myself and just wounds from these past things that happened, they all just kind of hit me like a brick wall, and then God met me there in this place. And there was nothing special about the place except it was really beautiful, but it was a place where God's presence was manifested in a way that we were reminded, or that I was reminded, that this journey that I have been on and these struggles, they're not meaningless things. But God is with me. And he's writing a story, and that story is going to end in glory, not in tragedy. I probably cried for like an hour while I was up there on that cliff, as I was just contemplating what God had spoken to me. And God wants to meet us in normal places where his presence comes together. God is always at work, and sometimes we can see it, and sometimes we can believe it. And sometimes we actually awaken to the reality that God is doing something. That he's not off in the distance, uninterested or uninvolved in what's happening in our lives. And not only is he at work, but he's at work to bring about our good. One of the verses that I have read so many times, and you're probably familiar with this too, is Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. A friend of mine gave me a list of verses a long time ago, and their statements, all these verses are statements reminding us who we are in Christ. And some of the statements say things like, I'm free from condemnation. I've been adopted as God's child. I've been appointed to bear fruit. And all of them are connected with one of these verses. And the statement connected with this verse is, I am assured that all things work together for my good. I am assured that all things work together for my good. God is doing something in the situations that all of us are in. He's for our good. And he's always at work. We don't need to pray, God, would you be with us? Because he is already with us. We don't need to pray, God, would you show up here? Because he's already here. And wherever God's presence is, that's the place where he is at work. Whenever two or more are gathered in my name, what does he say? There I am with them. When we go to the store, if we go up to the mall, where we go to work, if we go over to our neighbor's house, if we go to the softball field, wherever we are, we open up space for the kingdom of God to show up, because that is the place that God is at work. A couple of years ago, because of the summer, and most of us on staff with our church are campus missionaries, and so we have a lot less students who are around the summer. So some of our staff go off to these leadership training programs, and some of us stay in Muncie, but because there's not a ton to do in Muncie, we were trying to think of some things that we could do in the community. And I have this good friend who's the pastor of a small, let's just say, a small dying church on the south side of Muncie. And I know that he's wanting to revitalize the neighborhood right around the church and invite people into a faith experience, people who've been so disconnected with it for so long. And so we connected with him over the summer, and we asked if maybe we could put on a meal every week. And so we started by just walking around and knocking on doors and going up on people's porches and just trying to get to know people, and then inviting them to come to a neighborhood meal. And what started as maybe 20 people who showed up, now we've actually been doing it for the past 2 years. And there are 50 to 75 people from the neighborhood that show up. And we've started doing things like taking communion together, praying together, reading scripture together, sometimes singing a song together. And these are people who have had no connection with church. Maybe a grandparent a long time ago took them to church. Many of the people have not worked since the GM plant closed in Muncie, right around that neighborhood in the early 2000s. Most of the people have drug addiction issues in the neighborhood. Many of the people are homeless. A lot of the people are people so disconnected from other human beings that they say things to us like, you know, the only time I ever talk to anyone is on Thursday nights at these meals. And what started as just a meal to try to help this pastor friend of ours get to know some people has turned into a congregation of people who are really struggling. Here's a picture from the meal. And then if you flip to the next one, Here is a picture of some of those people who now, from the neighborhood, who themselves have taken over this meal. So they serve all the food. They clean up. They put out all the tables. And these are people who were living lives completely disconnected from other people, who are now experiencing together God and his work in their lives and Jesus' love for them. And actually, my wife and I, because of some of this that happened and some of the things that we had been thinking about, we just this weekend are moving into this neighborhood. And I actually had a hard time finding clothes to wear today because all my clothes are packed up in boxes, and I found this. So, but we are moving into this particularly struggling neighborhood on the south side of Muncie, and we are doing it to be neighbors and friends with people who have just struggled for a lot of years. And we hope to walk together with them in friendship, with their problems and drug addiction and mental health issues and unemployment and poor health care and lack of opportunities and very few social services and the inhumane policing that goes on down there and felony records and poor housing and the homeless people that are there and people who have struggled with generational poverty. And so by living there, their problems will, I guess, become more of our problems. And we will walk and continue to walk together with them in friendship. I don't have any plans of stopping the ministry that we're doing at Ball State. In fact, we're starting to bring a lot of students down, some who are thinking of moving into that neighborhood themselves, to be a part of making friendships with people who have been forgotten. And I know I drove by that neighborhood for a lot of years. Never went over there. It's the Avondale neighborhood right next to Shedtown. And that neighborhood has some people that God really loves and some people that God is reaching. This past Easter at that church, they baptized 3 people from Shedtown. And those 3 people have started an addiction recovery group in the neighborhood. They started up a Bible study together, and they're a part of like a fledgling neighborhood association. God is at work. If we are willing to engage in the people that, in the lives of the people that he loves so much, we will see him at work. Now, the unfortunate news for many of us who've been a part of church for a long time is those people are probably not going to show up to our church. Maybe someday they will, but they're probably not going to walk in the doors of the church. In fact, of all these people that we've gotten to know, this community that we have developed, there's maybe 4 or 5 of them that come to church on Sundays. But they don't ever miss a Thursday night experience of getting to be around friends that they've come to know and people that they've come to know, to maybe have someone pray for them or invite them into an experience with Jesus. If we hope to incarnate Jesus, we will have to go out into the world to do that. And we'll have to find new ways of doing that together. One of the benefits of us being in campus ministry all these years is every year, or every 4 years, our church disappears. We have to start over. Because students are only there for 4 years and then they're gone. So we have constantly had to figure out every year a new way to connect and reach people. It kind of has to be built into our DNA. But when we engage in that way, we will see God at work. I started earlier telling you about this trip to Amsterdam with these refugees. And when we went there, we really had an amazing experience. So amazing that we've been back the last two spring breaks. And one of the guys that we met the first year we were there was telling me about this dream that he had about Jesus when he was 15. And here's a picture of him. It might be kind of hard to see it, but I got to watch on Skype him being baptized in a park in Amsterdam. A guy from Iran who changed his name so that other Muslim people wouldn't know where he was from. But it was powerful. At the end of this week of outreach, most of these refugees that we met, we just invited them. We rented this Airbnb over in the Netherlands, and we asked the guy who ran the place. It said, you know, it said real clear, one of the first things on the contract, it said no parties. And but we went and asked that guy. We said, hey, could we have a party? And he was like, yeah, sure. So we invited all these refugees. I'm sure that's not the kind of party he was expecting us to have. And like 30 or so refugees showed up to our place, and we sat and we had conversation and shared together. And here's a group of some of those people. People that those missionaries are continuing to do Bible studies with and reveal to them as best they know how who Jesus is and what he wants to do in their life. There's a guy named Mohammed that the last couple years we've been there, I've called him, and he always wants to come see us when we're there. And when we were first living there, he was living in the asylum center. And he asked us, I asked them before we were getting ready to leave, can I pray for you about something? And he said, yes, could you pray that I get my papers so I can be officially here in the Netherlands? And I said, yeah, okay, I'll pray. But when I pray, one of the things that we do as Christians is we pray in Jesus' name. And I just asked him if that would be okay. And he said, yes, please do it. And so we prayed together, and I prayed that he would get his papers, and I prayed in Jesus' name. And a couple days after we got back to the United States, he said, you'll never believe what happened. My papers showed up in the mail. And I said, sometimes when we pray things in Jesus' name, well, always God hears, and often God answers. And so the next year when we came back, he brought a bunch of friends with him over to the Airbnb. And right as we were leaving, he said, let these guys pray for you in Jesus' name. Anything you need, ask them to pray, because it's different than our Muslim prayers. Because somehow God hears when they say in Jesus' name. So we have just had these amazing experiences of seeing God at work. I want to tell you one last story. Sorry, I'm going so long. We just did a vacation Bible school at this little church, this Avondale United Methodist Church on the south side of Muncie. And the week right before, there were a group of kids that took some rocks and bricks and busted out all the windows on the side of one of the houses where the church, that the church owns, but it sits back behind the church, and did about $2,500 worth of damage. And these kids come from families who could never pay for repairing those windows. And just so happened that the police showed up right as it was happening. And it just so happened that the pastor of the church was there right as it was happening. And it just so happened that the police called all their mothers, and they all showed up together. And so while they were all standing there talking about this, the police said, do you want to press charges? And the pastor, Josh, he said, no, we're not going to press charges. But the kids have to help clean it up, and they have to go to VBS. And so 2 weeks ago, these kids joined with a bunch of other neighborhood kids and a bunch of other people, actually from Jim Sandberg's church. They came down. So you have all these homeschooling families together with all these neighborhood families with these kids who have literally no supervision in their lives. And and we did a vacation Bible school together. After it was over, these kids came up to me. The next day was like a Friday. And they said, when's VBS? I said, vacation Bible school, you know, it's over. It was just 4 days. And they said, why can't vacation Bible school happen every day? And they said, could we start another vacation Bible school? And so we said, yeah, let's start another one. And so these kids went from small-time vandals to kids who were exploring and trying to imagine who God is and what Jesus might want to do in their lives. Why don't we stand as we close here? I wanted to share that as a reminder that the places that we are, wherever they are, as normal or mundane as they may seem, those places are holy ground because they're places where God is at work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness and your power. Lord, we thank you that you are at work in ways that we may never see, but Lord, you might give us the grace to be able to have insight into the work that you are doing among people that we're connected with. So embolden us, empower us. Lord, invite us into the spaces where you're working. And of course, as I have learned, and I'm sure we all have learned over the years, that those places are not often the places we think that you'll be working. And so, Lord, we tell you, we are available to you to join you in your mission of bringing life, hope, peace, and redemption to people's lives through your power and your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals if you want to 686, or it's also up here. We're going to sing verses 1 through 3 and 6. And, you know, I guess before we start in, let me just remind you, we've got VBS starting here on next Sunday. Jump in. Find some place to get connected. If you can come to our meeting on the 14th, the following Sunday, start talking about what are we going to do in our community? What ways are we going to get involved? Please be a part of that. I'm very thankful to hear all that's been going on in Avondale. Let's sing, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. For a minute here. God, we thank you for everything that you've done in the history of this church in the ages past. Thank you for all the pastors that have come before and all the generations that have served before. Those that built this church and those that reached out to their communities and drew people to Jesus. And I pray that you would remind us and make it clear to us that you're not done. Give us the eyes to see where you're at work and to join with you in it. Move us as we go out from here. Open our hearts to believe what you might be doing. To know those that are different from us, those that are not following Jesus. Give us hearts that ache for the lost. Hearts that long to see your name exalted and see Jesus lifted up as Savior and Lord. God, work in us, work in our congregation. Stir us up and send us out in Jesus' name. Amen.